Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation will continue this evening's worship service singing from Psalter 177, stanzas 1 and 2. O God, be merciful and bless, and let us see thy shining face, that all the earth may know thy way and all men taste thy saving grace. O let the nations praise thee, Lord, let all give thanks with glad accord. 177, we sing 1 and 2. Scripture reading for this evening can be found this evening in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18, but first we will hear the 12 articles of our Catholic Christian undoubted faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention to you Matthew 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Thus far.
Congregation, let us seek the Lord's countenance in prayer and ask for his presence and blessing. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou of whom we may read in thy word of those seraphims that are about thy throne and cry, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and we are sinful. Lord, may it not be evil in thy sight as we come before thee in prayer and open our sinful lips unto thee. Lord, teach us to pray. Give a little impression of how great thou art, of who thou art, that high, majestic, holy being, high in the heavens, and we are upon this earth, on this little tiny planet, insignificant, sinful human beings. But Lord, thou hast said in thy word and instructed us that we are to open our mouths wide unto thee and that thou would fill it. May we then be given to come before thee, believing that thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek thee. May we come before thee, bowing before thee in humility, but also looking up unto thee in faith, from whom alone cometh all our help for our bodies and for our never-dying souls. Lord, again thou hast opened the doors of thy house. Again we have heard that confession of faith, but also a portion from thy precious word. And Lord, again, thou hast brought us together, and we may come together to hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy word, especially tonight, of the message of the gospel, of that only name whereby we must be saved, that precious name, the Lord Jesus. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would remember the whole congregation, because we all know that name. We can even say that name, and maybe we can even write that name. But Lord, by nature, our hearts are closed for him and who he is and what that name means. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then do wonders for thy great name's sake, for the honor and the glory of thy name, and for the coming of thy kingdom. Work mightily, irresistibly, and conquer hearts. Give life to dead sinners. Conquer hearts of enemies and turn them into friends. Change those who only seek everything in this world, that they would become seekers of God, but also become seekers of that only mediator, of that one whom thou hast given that name, Jesus. Lord, we beg thee that thou would remember those who do not know the way. Oh, they have found there's no way in anything in self, in nothing, and they're wondering, what is the way? What is the way back to God for my perishing soul? Oh, may they hear it tonight through that name, that he is the one who is the only way back to God, that way of reconciliation, that way of being received back into favor. Remember those who have a burden of sin and cannot find any way in self or any way to be rid of that burden, and they long for that burden to be taken away, because that burden of sin causes a separation with the Holy God. Oh, may they hear it through that name, Jesus, that he came to save his people from their sins, because he came to be made sin, that sinners may be washed, may be cleansed, may be forgiven of all their sins. O Lord, we may know these truths and heard them for maybe many years, but may it become so new tonight. May the precious gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ become sweet. May it become food, and that sinners may eat it, that it may give them true peace, true comfort by the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we beg thee that thou would awaken those who are yet dead, and that they may cry out, what must I do to be saved? Remember those who may have confessed the name the Lord Jesus Christ with their lips, but are deceiving themselves. They may be on false grounds. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, awaken them before they forever perish. But remember also all thy dear people, all the little lambs, all the sheep. Lord, thou knowest each heart, the cares, the needs, the riddles, the questions. Oh, we beg thee that through thy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that those riddles may be taken away, that burdens may be taken away, and that darkness may be taken away, that light may be given, that food may be given for poor and needy sinners. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then gather with us tonight, for without thee we can do nothing. We are completely dependent upon thee, upon thy grace, upon the power of thy Holy Spirit. Oh, give faith then to not only truly confess who we are before thee, but also give faith to believe, to look unto, to flee after, to hide under that only place of refuge in thy dear Son. And give that that faith may be given an exercise, and that comfort may be received. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, thy word is profitable for all things, as we read in thy word, for instruction. And we need instruction, because by nature we do not know the way. Instruct then, as that great prophet, teach sinners who they are and who thou art, and of that way of salvation. But also teach sinners, guilty sinners, that they must pay, that the justice of an offended holy God must be satisfied, and that there may come an urgency, a need for reconciliation, and for a way that the justice of God is satisfied. O wilt thou then show thyself also as that great priest who became the Lamb of God, who gave that sacrifice. And Lord, we beg thee then, rule in hearts, conquer hearts, guide hearts, protect hearts by thy grace, by thy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. O Lord, we ask thee then for thy presence. We do not only need thy help to preach, but to listen, but we beg thee especially for thy presence. As Moses said, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. But thou hast promised, thy presence will go with him. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, tonight, give a good hour in thy house. Take away all the other obstacles and hindrances in listening and in preaching. Give a voice, but especially give the unction to preach. Give ears, open ears to hear and hearts to receive. Oh, may we beg it all, Lord, not for ourselves in the first place, but may we beg it for the glory of thy name, for the glory of thy name, of thy dear Son, and for our eternal comfort. Lord, unto whom else can we go with all the needs for our bodies, but especially for our souls? Thou alone has the words of eternal life. It's thy voice alone that can comfort and instruct poor and needy sinners. Lord, we ask then that thou would remember the whole congregation. Help each one to listen. Give much prayer, and that there may be criers and sighers. Lord, give opening and bless thy word by the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that thou would then also remember the government that thou hast placed over us in this great nation. May we beg thee that all those whom thou hast called locally, provincially, federally, the prime minister, oh, may we beg thee, Lord, that thou would give them the tender fear of the Lord in their hearts, that they may need thee, that they may have a heart that longs to follow thee and to guide and rule this nation according to thy will, according to thy word. Lord, we beg thee for thy great name's sake and for the welfare of this nation. Oh, do not leave us, Lord. We have sinned against thee in paradise, but also as a nation we have forsaken thee, because this nation was builded upon Christian principles, but we have cast thee out of government. Oh, we beg thee, do not leave us. Do not give a famine of thy word in this nation, but yet bless it richly by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray and ask thee that thou would look upon us in mercy as we have transgressed against all thy commandments as a nation, but also against the precepts of marriage. But also, Lord, we do not respect life anymore in this nation. Lord, the unborn are murdered, and the old also by the way of euthanasia. Have mercy on us, Lord, and give that we may be convicted of our sin, and that there may be respect for life. May we see it from the moment of conception until natural death, that each one is created in the image of God. Oh, we beg thee, have mercy upon us, Lord. May we lay before thee also the persecuted church, those who suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Uphold them, strengthen them, care for them, Lord. Remember then also in this week, as again we will have a consistory meeting, Lord, we beg thee that thou would guide us and lead us by thy word and spirit in all the decisions that we need to make, that we may be faithful to thee, to thy word, and that thou would give what we need to lead this flock that thou hast entrusted into our care, unto the truths of thy word, and that it may be a blessing for the whole congregation. Lord, we are sinful men. There's nothing in us. Thou hast called us, but we may read in thy word, faithful is he that calleth, who will also do it. May our eyes then be unto thee, the Almighty God. Lord, remember also the education of our children in our homes. Give that we may be faithful as fathers, as mothers, to instruct our children to the utmost of our power unto the truths of thy precious word, and that thou would bless the means of grace that we may use in our homes. But remember also the school that thou hast given us, Rehoboth Christian School. We beg thee, care for the board, the staff, the teachers, but also especially the students. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would work mightily, and that many students, oh Lord, thou art an almighty God, thou couldst save them all, as thou hast saved 3,000 on one day in the day of Pentecost. Oh, we beg thee, conquer their hearts, and that they cannot serve the world anymore, but that they have a longing to serve thee, the living God. We beg thee that thou would also provide teachers for Rehoboth Christian School. We beg thee, help each one. Give God-fearing teachers. And Lord, thou knowest the need also, that urgent need for a teacher to teach math and science. Oh, we beg thee, thou who art that almighty God, to provide, move the hearts of men, and that those who have the gifts to teach, that their heart may be inclined, and that they may be won over, and that they would apply, and that they would be accepted. Lord, thou art that mighty God who can do above all that we think and ask. May we beg it for the glory of thy name, but also for a blessing and Rehoboth Christian School. And so, Lord, we lay these needs all before thee. Look upon us in mercy also, as boys and girls, as teenagers, as adults, as singles, as husband and wives, as older ones. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, bless thy word richly to each of our never-dying souls. Teach us who we are in thy sight, that we are sinners, polluted sinners, wretched sinners, and that we may not only know it in our heads, but that it may become real, that we may know it, experience it in our hearts. But also teach us, Lord, thy way of salvation, of the precious gospel, in that only name, Jesus Christ. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that he may become necessary, that he may become suitable and precious. Take away, then, all that hinders to preach and to listen. Cast out Satan, who would like to block and who would like to distract from preaching and from listening. Lord, we deserve nothing because of all our sins, because of all our iniquities. But, oh, we beg thee for thy grace. Have mercy on us. Wash us. Cleanse us from all our many sins. We ask for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us now continue with singing from Psalter 200, all stanzas. Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest regions shall his empire be. They that walls inhabit shall their worship bring. King shall render tribute, nations serve our king. Psalter 200, all four stanzas. And the collections for this evening is the first for the church, and the second for the Benevolent Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. congregation. We are meditating upon the 12 articles of the Catholic undoubted Christian faith. And if we look back to Lord's Day 7, then we had the question, what is true faith? And we heard three things. It's a knowledge, it's an assent, or an agreement, you could say, but also a trust. But then we had the question, what is necessary for a Christian to believe? And the answer was all things promised in the gospel, which the 12 articles teach us. The 12 articles is a summary of the faith. And those 12 articles are divided into three parts. Children, do you remember? Teenagers? Adults? God the Father in creation? God the Son in redemption, and the Holy Spirit in sanctification. And we have considered the first article about God the Father in creation. I believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and of earth. And this evening, we begin in the second part about God the Son and redemption. God the Son and redemption. This leads to a question. Why is there a need for redemption? Did not God create everything perfect? Yes, he did. God created everything absolutely perfect. But why is there a need then for redemption? That's because of you and me. That's because of man. It's because of our sin. It's because of our rebellion against God. Man sinned. Man rebelled. Man became corrupt. Man ruined everything. Because of man's rebellion, there's a need for redemption. Because of sin, man was separated from God. Born dead in sins and trespasses, and prone by nature to all evil, except he is born again. Born without God, under the power of sin, the world, and Satan, and under the curse of the law, desperate situation, and in need of redemption, need of a redeemer. Who can redeem lost sinners? Can man redeem himself? No, it's absolutely impossible, and he has no desire by nature even to be redeemed. So who? Who has the power? Who has the ability? Who is the one who initiated redemption? Who is willing to redeem sinners, lost sinners, hell-worthy, guilty sinners? It's a triune God. A triune God. The Father sent his Son, the mediator. And who's the mediator? Well, this mediator has many names. I believe over 100 in the Word of God. Because one name is not sufficient to explain something of the glory and the beauty of this only mediator. And yet, he has three very precious names. Children, what are the three precious names of the only mediator? Jesus, Christ, and Lord. And that is what we are going to meditate with the Lord's help this evening and the coming Lord's Day. This evening, we will meditate upon one name. And children, I think you all know this name. Maybe you can even write this name. But do you, do I, do you, congregation, truly know? In the depth of the word, do you know the name Jesus? Has this name become absolutely necessary for your soul? And has this name become precious? A precious name above all other names in the whole world. You heard it read from Matthew 1 verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. And so tonight, with the Lord's help, and may we beg for the application, the work of the Holy Spirit, that this name, maybe for the first time, becomes so necessary, so suitable, and so sweet for your soul, but again and again, because this name never becomes an old name. It can become so new, so sweet, again and again. Let's read together now Lord's Day 11. Lord's Day 11, question and answer 29 and 30. And you can find it in the back of your Psalter on page 39. Lord's Day 11, question and answer 29 and 30. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is a Savior? Because he saveth us and delivereth us from our sins, and likewise, because we ought not to seek, neither can find salvation in any other. Question answer 30. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anywhere else? They do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds, they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they who by a true faith receive this Savior must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. And so the theme tonight is Jesus, the Savior of sinners. And we will consider three things about the Lord Jesus. First, Jesus was named by the Father. We read he was called Jesus. Who gave him that name? What is the Father expressing with that name that he gave his Son? So, Jesus was named by the Father. The second thought is Jesus saves from sin. Is that why you need him? Or why do you need him? Or do you not need him at all? Do you need him for the purpose that he came to this world? Do you need him to save you from your sin, that you can experience reconciliation with God? And then the last thought is Jesus is the only Savior. The only Savior. He's the complete Savior. So Jesus, the Savior of sinners. Jesus was named by the Father. Jesus saves from sins. And Jesus is the only Savior. So Jesus, the Savior of sinners. Jesus was named by the Father. Children, boys and girls, when you were born, your father and mother, I believe before you were even born, maybe had a little discussion. If we have a boy, what shall we call him? If we have a girl, what should their name be? And so your father and mother chose a name for you. I did that with my children also. But who gave the Savior his name? Did Mary and Joseph have a discussion? Did they have a discussion? What shall we name this baby that will be born, this wonderful baby? No. They were instructed by God the Father, by an angel, to call that babe that would be born of Mary a special name, Jesus. And God the Father sent an angel to tell Mary this, and God the Father also sent an angel to tell Joseph this. We read the message to Mary in Luke 1 verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And we read the message of Joseph. We read that of the angel sent by God the Father, that the child that would be born of Mary to call his name Jesus in Matthew 1 verse 21. God the Father is not called Jesus. God the Holy Spirit is not called Jesus. No, the second person in the Trinity, the Son of God, he himself is called Jesus. Why? Why this name? Does it matter? Yes, it matters, congregation. Why this name? Because this name is so beautiful. It has such a rich meaning. What's the significance? What does that name of the Son of God, Jesus, mean? Why did God the Father send an angel to tell Mary and to tell Joseph, both of them, to call the child that would be born Jesus? In paradise, man sinned. He rebelled against God. Man broke the relationship with God. He turned his back to God, never ever to return again. And by our sin in paradise, our original sin, and by each of our actual sin, we offend the highest majesty in heaven. And now think that that very God that we have grieved to the heart with our sin, and we do offend and have offended, he sent his Son into this world, and he gave him a very special name. He gave him the name Jesus. Sometimes parents have a child that's born, and they want to express something with the name. Through the name, they want to give an expression. I think of Hannah, for example. She prayed for a child. God gave her a child. She had a son, and she called him Samuel. Asked of God. She wanted to express it, that she asked of God, and God gave her this boy, Samuel. She was expressing. It was a petition to God, and God gave it. But now let us think for a moment. What is God the Father expressing through the name that he wanted that his son would have, the name Jesus? This name Jesus means Jehovah, that almighty, that infinite holy being saves, or in Jehovah is salvation. Why is the Son of God called Jesus, that is a savior? God the Father, by giving his Son the name Jesus, is expressing to us also today, tonight, a very precious, important message. He's expressing that he has a desire to be reconciled with sinners, sinners that sinned against him. God desires, through this name he's expressing, he has a desire not that they would go lost, that he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that sinners would be saved. God the Father expresses a desire through this name to have a relationship with sinners. Jesus, has that name ever become precious to you? Has that name ever become sweet for your soul? Or you can read it and you can hear it and it never ever has touched your heart. The Almighty God, that infinite holy being, the one against whom we have sinned, gave this name to his only beloved Son. This name expresses that he desires, but more, he shall save sinners. For he shall save his people from their sins. God the Father gave his Son as a gift, gave his Son, sent him into the world, and gave this very explicit name, Jesus. And Paul, he knew the Lord Jesus, and he knew a little something of who he is and of who that Savior is, and he called him the unspeakable gift. Have you ever received something that you had no words to express? Well, have you ever seen, by God's grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, this precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? Men did not seek God to be reconciled with God. No, they had no desire, but rather God sent his Son into the world. He sent him into the world to seek and to save sinners. Man had no desire. We see this with our father Adam. After he sinned and he heard the voice of God, and what did he do? He ran and hid himself. And God went after him and said, "Where art thou?" Fallen man without grace has no desire for God. And yet God, in his infinite mercy, in his infinite goodness and grace, he sent his son to this world for a purpose. He sent him into this world, and he had his name to be called Jesus. Why did he come? What was the purpose of God the Father? Why did he call him that he would be called Jesus? Why did God the Father send his son Jesus into this world? Luke 19 verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Congregation, this is the best news for lost sinners, that he came to seek and to save, no, not righteous ones, but lost sinners. God the Father sent his son Jesus to save sinners. This is amazing. This is an expression in this name of the love of God the Father for such absolute unworthy sinners. God gave everything. He gave his only begotten son. He could not have given more because he gave everything. It was his only son. It was his beloved son who was his delight from all eternity. He gave him willingly. No one asked for him. No, he gave him freely, fully, out of his heart. Our sins are serious. No, our sins are horrible. No, our sins are his absolute wickedness against the holy, majestic God. And the only way for sinners to be saved and to be brought into reconciliation with God is through this name of God's only begotten Son, Jesus. And he sent him not only to live, not only to fulfill his law, but he sent him as that savior of sinners to seek and save them. But to be able to save them, he had to give everything also of himself. God the Father gave his son, and the Lord Jesus Christ gave everything. He gave his life. He gave his blood. Why is the Son of God called Jesus then his savior? The Savior was born in Bethlehem, the gift of God, and he was called Jesus by his Father. And now listen, the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men can become the sons of God through the mediator, Jesus Christ. Did you hear it? The Son of God became the Son of Man. He humbled himself so that the sons of men can become sons of God. What a name. What a precious name. What hope. What sweetness. What glory. What grace. So whenever you hear that name, I hope you can never hear that name the same ever again. I hope it becomes a new name for your soul tonight. That whenever you think of that name, think of God the Father and his love for such wretched sinners. Open your Bible to 1 John 4, please. In him is hope. In him is life. In him is everything. And in this name is an expression of love. In this name is an expression of mercy. But especially you who are the little lambs, the sheep of the good shepherd. We will read 1 John 4, verse 9 and 10. 1 John 4, verse 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world. Why? That we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. It all flows out of God. And sinners are recipients. And we heard that expression of the love of God. Herein is love. It's not about our love for God, but it's about his love for perishing sinners. Sinners that only deserve to be forever cast away. Jesus What a sweet name. What a precious name. Or is it not sweet for your soul? Is it not precious? This name has such a rich meaning. Jehovah saves. It's a perfect name. It's an excellent name. God the Father in his wisdom expressing through that name, Jesus, of what his Son will do. What will he do? Well, that leads us to our second thought. Jesus saves from sin. Let's read Matthew 1 verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. What does the name Jesus mean? Well, to understand this name, let us consider an Old Testament name that has the same meaning. The Old Testament name in Hebrew has the same name in the Greek of Jesus, Joshua. And now, children, teenagers, when you hear the name Joshua, what do you think of? Of whom do you think of? I think you think of a man, of a courageous man who led the people Israelites, the children of God, who brought them into the land of Canaan. Joshua has the same name as Jesus, but he's also a beautiful illustration of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. And so in what way was Joshua an illustration of Jesus, of his work, of what he would do, of what that name means? Joshua brought the Israelites, the children of God, into that land, the promised land of Canaan. And likewise, the Lord Jesus Christ will deliver his people and bring them into that eternal paradise, into that promised land, the land of Canaan. All the Israelites, every single one of them, under the responsibility of Joshua, were brought into the promised land. And all those whom the Father gave to Jesus, all who are under his responsibility, under that head of the covenant of grace, he shall seek, he shall save, and he shall bring them into that eternal kingdom. Not one of them will ever be missing. But the question is, do you belong to him? Do you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember, what is the only comfort in life and death? That's to belong to him. That I do not belong to myself. It was a blessing to belong to Joshua, to be under his leadership. But what an infinite blessing, congregation, to be under him who's that greater Joshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you? But now I think of another man by the name of Joshua. In Zechariah, Joshua the high priest. And in chapter 3, we see this man, the high priest, standing before God with filthy garments. And then we read that God forgave him and gave him a change of garments. This Joshua is also an illustration to explain of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Joshua the high priest represented all the Israelites as the high priest. And he stood before the Lord as a guilty high priest. How is he an illustration of Jesus and of his work? Well, Jesus Christ, the great high priest, did not only take on himself the human flesh, but he was the substitute for his people. And he took upon himself, and it was laid upon him, all the sins of all his people. So Jesus Christ, as that substitute for his people, as the high priest, stood guilty before God. He gave himself willingly as the greater Joshua. And Joshua and Zechariah, the high priest, he could find a lamb for a sacrifice for himself and for the people, especially on the Day of Atonement. But Jesus, that great high priest, that great Joshua, he didn't seek for another lamb. No, he came to be the lamb. He gave himself. And through him, through his sacrifice, there is the forgiveness of sins. For sins of the Pharisees, for the sins of the most notorious, wicked, worldly sinner. And through him, there is a change of garment. Because we read in Revelation 19, verse 8, they will receive new garments, pure garments, garments of white, of splendor, of linen. Oh, to belong to this precious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the greater Joshua. The Hebrew name Joshua and the Greek name Jesus have the same meaning. And although their names have the same meaning, those first two, Joshua, were sinners, men who needed salvation in the greater Joshua, Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the only one who can forgive a sinner of his sins. Remember that paralytic man who was led, who was lowered through the roof and put at the very feet of the Lord Jesus Christ? Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ said to him? My son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then those scribes and Pharisees began to murmur in themselves. And the Lord Jesus knew it. And what did he say? Mark 2 verse 10. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Are you a burdened sinner? Is that you tonight? Burdened with sin? Trying to find a way to be forgiven of your sin? Trying to find a way to be received back into communion in favor with God? Trying this way, that way, with your tears, your prayers, more zeal, more faithfulness, more using the means of grace, and in many other ways? Has it all become a lost, hopeless case because your sin is still there and it only increases? Unable to pay, unable to find any way of forgiveness of your sins. There is forgiveness of sins in the name, in that mediator, Jesus Christ. Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. That's his name, Jesus. That means I am that I am. He is the supreme, majestic, holy being. He's that covenant, faithful God. He's the one and only true God of heaven and of earth. And Jehovah, through this name Jesus, he is saying that many things have changed. Sinner, you've rebelled against me. Sinner, you have become completely, totally depraved, totally corrupt. And all you can do is to be prone to sin and evil. But I have not changed. I am the same. I am that faithful one. I am the one who put sinners as the object of my love. And he will seek and he will save. And if you become an object, a subject of his love, that love will never, ever break. It cannot break because of that name of his son, Jesus. Jehovah saves because he paid with his blood. He sealed that covenant, faithful promise of the almighty covenant Jehovah. He shall save his people, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come to this world? Why did the Lord Jesus leave the glory of that splendor in heaven with all the angels and being in the presence of his Father? Why did he come, lower himself so low in humility to this world filled with sin and iniquity, where he had to see it and hear it and live among it? What was the purpose of Jesus Christ coming into this world? The reason Jesus Christ came to this world is in his name. He came to save. He came to rescue. He came to deliver those who are only on that way to eternal wrath and destruction, who deserve eternal wrath, who deserve eternal separation. My friend, whoever you are, older one, younger ones, do you see that you are worthy because of your sin, original sin, and your own actual sin, that you are worthy of eternal destruction and wrath. And then to hear that name, Jesus. He came to save his people from their sins. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ need to come? Why did God the Father send him to this world? Why did he need to live on this earth? The answer to this question is because no man, no boy, no girl, no woman, no older person, no one can save himself. No sinner can bring himself back to the very heart of God. We left God, never ever to return. And no man by nature ever has a desire, and no man by nature, and even after grace, is able to bring himself back into restored reconciliation with God. God sent his Son. God sent his Son, Jesus, into this world to seek and save sinners. God must come to man. God must give life to man. God must seek man and to give life and to save him. This is the precious gospel, congregation. This is the precious gospel, is that Jesus Christ came to save sinners from their sins. The precious gospel is God the Father sent his Son to save sinners from their sins. And now think for a little moment, and we cannot even understand it, but think of what that must have been for God the Father to send his Son. What that must have been for his Son to come. Because who would want to go to a country where everybody would only be an enemy against you? Who would only want to kill you? None of us would want to go to a country like that. But the Lord Jesus Christ came knowing that that was his end. His Father gave him knowing that that was the end. It was his plan. It was his plan by that way to receive sinners back into restored relationship with him. He left the glory with his Father. He left the glory of all those angels where it's all purity, holiness. And he came to this earth where all he saw was sin and enemies and evil. What love, what mercy, from holiness and purity to evil and sin. Oh, what a love of the Father to send his Son, to send his Son, Jesus Christ, into this world. And what a wonder that he was willing to come. What love, what mercy, what hope. Why? Why did God the Father do this? Why did Jesus Christ do this? Why? Open your Bible to 1 Timothy 1. There we have the answer. Why did God the Father send him to the earth? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come to this world? We read it in 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. To save sinners. Has it ever become sweet to you to save sinners? What if it would say that Christ Jesus came into the world to save the righteous? That wouldn't be sweet. But he came to save sinners. That becomes sweet for those who know themselves as a sinner. What does it mean to save? What does it mean to save? What is salvation? It's to take from the greatest, worst situation of being in danger, of wrath. The greatest, perilous situation. And to intervene and to deliver them and to bring them to the highest good. From the bottom of a pit to the highest good. And Jesus Christ, he came. He came to seek and to save. In him is salvation. And a triune God, God the Father sent his Son. And Jesus Christ came. He came willingly. He came voluntarily. He gave everything. He came to save from what? from family problems, from money problems, from financial problems, from loneliness, from a bad job, from a bad class, from bad schoolmates. And I could list many things. Did he come to give a good life on this earth? No. He came. The primary reason he came is to save, to seek and to save sinners. May I ask you, do you need the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you? Why do you need him? Do you need him for the reason he came to this world? Why did he come? He came to this world to save sinners from their sins. Shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Who did he come to save, congregation? He came to save sinners. You say, wait a minute. Did he not come to save the elect? Did he not come to save the chosen of God? May I ask you a different question? Who do they come to know themselves? It's true. It's a doctrinal truth. He will save the elect. It's a doctrinal truth. But who are they? Who are they taught? What do they learn about themselves? In what state does they find him? In what state do they remain to be in themselves? I think of Paul of Romans 7, 20 years as a Christian, born again. And what was his name? What did he call himself? Wretched sinner. They are found under wrath, nothing better in them at all than all the rest of the whole world. They're found as lost sinners. They're taught they are sinners and under the wrath of God, as we read in Ephesians 2 verse 5, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The only difference is God's free and sovereign grace. Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners, and the Holy Spirit renews sinners and teaches them that they are sinners, that they're wretched sinners, polluted sinners, unrighteous sinners, hell-worthy sinners, and they remain in themselves with that name, sinner, and nothing more in themselves. And yet, by God's grace through Christ, they are saints, but in themselves, sinners, chief of sinners, as Paul said. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Is that message to your soul a comfort? Is it a comfort? Be honest with yourself. Be honest. Is it sweet? Did you long to come to hear tonight? You knew the Heidelberg Catechism was about the name Jesus. Did you long? Did you come prayerfully? Oh, may I hear that name. May I hear that name explained. May I see something of the glories of the precious Savior, Jesus Christ. He came to this earth to save sinners. And by his grace, sinners are renewed and they begin to seek him. He seeks them and therefore they seek him. He loves them and therefore they love him. He's the first and they begin to follow. All the glory to him. It's of him, through him, and it will all be to him. But my friend, Jesus Christ, he came to this world to save sinners from the power of sin. Are you stuck in sin? Horrible sin? Are you addicted to sin and you cannot break the power? There is a mighty Savior that has the power to break you from the power of sin. Do you have guilt of sin? A mountain of guilt? Something you don't even want to tell anybody else, and you don't need to, but God knows. Do you have a mountain of guilt, of sins, of youth, as a teenager, as an adult, as an older one? Horrible sins? Sins as black as hell? Jesus has the power to forgive from all the guilt of sin, but he also has the power to cleanse from the pollution of sin. Are you polluted? Do you remain such a sinner and you wish your heart was just cleaner? More pure thoughts, more pure desires, more pure of a will, more pure affections to serve him? He has the power. That precious Savior, Jesus Christ, because his blood is the blood of the Lamb of God. That blood has power. That blood has the power to cleanse from all sin. As sinners, we only deserve condemnation. But when Jesus Christ seeks and saves in his mercy, he saves a sinner from eternal condemnation, and he will bring them into eternal salvation. As sinners, we only deserve eternal wrath. But he came in that place to absorb all the wrath of God the Father against all his people. And through him, they receive not eternal death, but eternal life. What a Savior. What an unspeakable gift. What hope. What mercy. What grace in this precious name, Jesus. Let us sing now from Psalter 261, stanzas 1 and 2 standing. Psalter 261, stanzas 1 and 2. Sing a new song to Jehovah for the wonders he hath wrought. His right hand and arm most holy triumph to his cause have brought. In his love and tender mercy he hath made salvation known. In the sight of every nation, he his righteousness hath shown. 261, stanzas 1 and 2. Jesus, the Savior of sinners, given this specific name by his Father. And he came to save sinners from their sins. What does this tell us, congregation? What does this inform you and me, every single one of us? Let us again read Lord's Day 11, question and answer 30. Do such then believe in Jesus, the only Savior, who seek their salvation and welfare of saints, of themselves, or anyone else? They do not. For though they boast of him in words, yet in deeds they deny Jesus, the only deliverer and Savior. For one of these two things must be true, that either Jesus is not a complete Savior, or that they, who by a true faith receive this Savior, must find all things in him necessary to their salvation. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He's the only complete Savior that a sinner can find all things necessary for his or for her salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only complete Savior. There's no other way. No other way. And Peter said in Acts 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Congregation, boys, girls, teenagers, adults, Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He is the only way back to God. He's the only way back to the heart of the Father. There is no other way, and he must become your complete Savior, or he is not your Savior at all. Because he doesn't want to be a helping Savior. No, he wants to be a complete Savior. And in him is absolutely everything. Everything you need to be brought back into reconciliation with God. No one else can save you. No, not Mary. No other one. And not yourself. And nothing that you have of yourself either. You cannot be saved by anything you have, even of all the gifts of God, all the texts, all the verses, all the experiences, all the grace. You cannot be saved by anything of you have of yourself, not your good works, not your Bible reading, not your baptism, not your confession of faith, not your good attendance in the Cortland Church, nothing, not your prayers, not your tears, even though you could cry day and night. You can only be saved through Jesus Christ. And he's offended if you come to him. Come to him to bring a little something of yourself. And we need to be stripped. Why? That's painful, but it's good to be completely lost, completely bankrupt. Because then, through that way, by the work of the Holy Spirit, we need him. And we need him complete as a complete Savior. That glorifies him. But that also gives comfort. Because in him is complete salvation for complete lost sinners who have absolutely nothing. Nothing to pay, nothing to bring, nothing to please God. It's all in him. It's teaching us what? Seek it in him. Seek it in him. And by nature, we don't seek it in him at all. And by nature, we try to seek it in everything else. And so we need that precious work of the Spirit to teach us of our great need of this precious name, Jesus Christ, but also to show us that in ourselves, all our righteousnesses in the sight of God is all filthy rags. Why? To lead us to see him as the Lord, our righteousness. That we would only rest in him. That we would only hide under him. And that we need him as the prophet, priest, and king. That we need him in all his works, all his merits, and nothing in self I bring, but only to the cross I cling. Congregation, there's a Savior for sinners. A Savior for the chief of sinners. There's a Savior for vile sinners. May this come home. May this come home with power. Let me give you hope. And that you seek him, that you cry unto him. As others, as we read in the Word of God, Son of David, have mercy upon me. Jesus, Son of David, deliver me. That you may begin to cry, and you cannot leave him. Until you may know, on good grounds, that he has also saved you. That he has washed you. That he's covering you. That you're under his wings, because that's the only place to rest. But what a work the Holy Spirit has to do to bring us enemies, us proud, foolish, ignorant, wicked sinners to that only place. But it's a good place. It's a place of rest on the rock, Jesus Christ, because there is no other place, nothing else. It's all sinking sand. Sinking sand. And one day, we will stand before that God, that Almighty God against whom we have sinned. And if we are sought and saved by him, and if we have sought and found him under his wings, then we will experience peace and we will enter into glory. But if we are without this precious Savior, whose name is Jesus, whom we have heard also tonight in Cortland, and then to die and to have never cried unto him, never fled unto him, then you'll be sent away. What a horrible thing to hear of the way and then to just carry on in your own life, pleasing yourself with sin. Congregation, don't be a fool. Don't be so foolish. Don't be so wicked. Listen to that name, and may it come with power. And you go home on your knees and you cry to him, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a wretch. Teach me who I am. Yes, pray that. Teach me who I am. That there becomes such a need and urgency. Teach me who thou art. And thy holiness and thy attributes, all of it. Teach me. And teach me and lead me and guide me to the only way, to the one who is the Savior of sinners, Jesus Christ. What a precious name. But is it precious to you? Has it become precious? Maybe you can't say he's mine, but has it become precious? In the depth of your heart, you long for him. You can't live without him anymore. And you long to know that you belong to him. Has he become your life, your hope, your everything? Have you forsaken all? And are you only trusting in him, looking to him, waiting upon him that he would speak? Jesus, the Savior of sinners. Psalm 72, verse 18 and 19. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, we have heard that precious name that thou hast given unto thy Son. Oh, we beg thee by the power of the Holy Spirit that we may know our name, sinner, and that that name, Jesus, may become sweet, may become precious, may become our hope, may become the way back to thee, that Almighty God. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that each one of us may take thy word with us. May it bring us upon our knees, seeking thee, crying unto thee as unworthy beggars at thy throne of grace. And Lord, we ask thee then that thou would do above all that we can think and ask. Keep us in this week that we have begun. And we have no certainty that we will end this week. But oh, we beg thee that thou would prepare us to meet thee in peace. Work in us, seek us, Save us, Lord, for the glory of thy name and for our eternal welfare. Seek our children and save them, Lord, the teenagers, the adults, the older ones. Lord, we deserve nothing, but may we beg it for thy great name's sake, that thy kingdom may come here in this church, in hearts, in the hearts of adults, teenagers, children, boys and girls. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing now in closing from Psalter 306, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 306. Praise God, ye servants of the Lord. Praise, praise his name with one accord. Bless ye the Lord, his name adore, from this time forth forevermore. Psalter 306, stanzas 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
Congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.